righteous and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian and don't have joy, here are some very basic things that you need to understand about what it means to have joy in the Lord in your life. Receiving Christ, submitting to the Spirit, reading the Bible, and praying don't sound very original, but there isn't anything more original than the Word of God. It's the bedrock of simplicity of what it means to have joy in Christ. And here's why. If joy is in Christ, then everything that has to do with joy has to be centered in Christ. As the Holy Spirit indwells and controls us, and as we read the Bible, we will come to prayer time and to fellowship with Jesus. As we spend time with Him, we come to love, adore, and praise Him. And Jesus becomes the literal focus of our lives. And this is how we have joy in God. How simple. This is from David Jeremiah. It's a new little book I picked up this year, and it's Sanctuary, Finding Moments of Refuge in the Presence of God. Good morning again, morning people, and those who struggle to get out of bed. So it's good to be here again. My name is Kevin, and as I mentioned yesterday, and if some of you are just coming today, I serve a camp up in New Hampshire that's getting pounded right now with snow. All the schools are closed up there, and but it's okay. It's normal. It'll go away at about 3 o'clock today, and then not all the snow, but at least the travel will begin again. Besides that, I serve an 1837, an old church, and it's pretty cool about that church because when I first got there, I was the interim minister. And they said, would you stick around? I think it was the Birkenstocks, because one day I switched my shoes, and they said, we want casual Kevin back. And I don't know what that means, but there I was. And I was just preaching a simple message. They asked for two things, and I might have mentioned this yesterday, but they asked for two things. And this is what grabbed my heart and the call to ministry, serving two ministries, really. Again, not my plate, it's God's plate, and we obey where God tells us to go. One is they asked for a biblical message on Sunday, which kind of blew me away because the church was kind of a community church, and sometimes with community church, like they'd rather read poems than read scripture. So that really blew me away when they said that. The other is, we just need you to care for us during the week. You know, we need you to come and visit. This church is 6 miles from camp. So, you know, I said, that's it, really? Just those two things? And they said, absolutely. And 3 years later, 3 and a half, here I am. The message this morning I wanted to share with you was just how we get back in touch with our compassion. And when I was driving down, the scripture in Galatians really hit my heart, kind of as a theme to share with you this morning. I've been in camping and nonprofit ministry for 23 years, and I say that, you know, as I come and as I share, I'm kind of like a library book. Just like, take me down when you need me, put me up when, you know, for whatever. You know, my job is to clear the path to Christ. I certainly don't have all the answers, but I love coming here. I love when the cabinet said, hey, Kevin, could you come and could you share? Because I want to have a purpose for you. I want to be able to share and inspire and give an encouragement and do ministry together, you know, hand in hand. But and if you do need anything, my cards are in the back there. If you ever have any questions about camping ministry, I'm happy to share. I also serve as your regional rep. But again, if there's anything you want to pray about or if you want to just say, you know, it's kind of nice to have somebody kind of on the outside, so to speak, in your circle. You can share things with me. They'll be in confidence. Like I said, I'll pray with you. I have many folks that I've done that with, and I see the value of it. But Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The verse goes on in Galatians 6, and it says, therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. And that's something we're doing this morning. The charge is that don't grow weary. So there's an opportunity to grow weary. Not an opportunity, but there's you know, a chance that we might. We need to be able to guard our hearts and guard our minds as we come together. But yesterday we talked about what it means to be loved. And again, I've been to a couple of these conferences where we come together. And I know that that's one thing that we really need to be reminded of as we serve, you know, where we serve in various parts of our ministry. just to park at the feet of Christ just for a few moments and really just remember what it is to be loved. Today I want to talk about compassion, and we see the scripture in Colossians 3:12 that, you know, we clothe ourselves with all these things. I could breeze through and I could tell you, you know, each one of the five. I'm going to throw that back to you. I'm just going to slow down, go in first gear, and just focus on compassion today and be reminded of that. Let's go to the Lord this morning. God, we thank you for this morning. Lord, a new day ahead of us. So many seconds, minutes, hours, but they're all in front of us right now, God. You give us a new day, and daily you renew us. We won't forget those benefits, those promises as you meet us each day. Lord, I ask that you'd be with us this morning. The words that you've laid on my heart to share with these people this morning, let them fall on ears that need to hear and hearts that need to receive. Lord, and as we leave this room, let us be closer to you. Let us be more loved by you. Let us remember what that means to be loved. There's so many distractions that take away that truth sometimes. We forget it. But God, you're an almighty God, and we thank you for it. We thank you that you had compassion on us, and we are to have compassion on others. In Jesus' name. So the scripture, again, I'm looking at, besides the Galatian scripture, is Colossians 3:12. And it says, as we read yesterday, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And sometimes in ministry, we understand what that means, but we, again, forget. We want to, you know, be able to embrace it again. We want to jump out of our seats, as we talked about yesterday, out of that plane. We want to be propelled. Sometimes we hold on tight, but we need that strap to be that extra thing, and that's God, you know, pushing us out of our seats. Sometimes we want to stay in the danger, but God wants to take us to safety. I'm reminded of a story of the author and lecturer Leo Buscalera. He once said, and he was in a contest, and he was asked to judge the most compassionate person. And again, that was the purpose, the most compassionate child, and there was a whole bunch of children there. And the winner was just a four-year-old, a small child, whose next-door neighbor was an elderly gentleman who recently lost his wife. And upon seeing the man cry, the little boy went up to the older gentleman, and he climbed on his lap, and all he did was sit there. When his mother asked what he said or what he did to help this older man, he said, nothing. I just helped him cry. With compassion and showing compassion, and we all know that, you know, with children, and I love the work, and I hope many of you have touch points in the sense of the summer with kids, and some of us run retreat centers, but the thing I love about camping ministry is we're constantly reminded of that Matthew 18, going back to the importance of what it means to be humble like a child, or be compassionate like a child. And having and showing compassion doesn't always involve words. We try, when we're compassionate, we try to say the right things, and sometimes it really just takes a hug, an embrace, or crawling up into the lap of somebody who needs to learn how to cry again. Compassion begins with recognizing, and my fear sometimes in ministry is we sometimes forget, and that's what I really want to zone in on today, is how do we grab that compassion back? Compassion motivates people to go out of their way to help the physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, sometimes pains of another. And compassion allows us to be moved by the suffering and experience the motivation to help alleviate that pain. The act of compassion is what's next after the verse, and it's showing kindness. But before we go on to showing compassion and showing kindness, we really need to understand, again, what compassion is. The original Greek of the word comes from having compassion, and it's really strong in meaning. And what it means, and this is my question for us, is having compassion is closer to being so moved by something that you feel it deep within your innards. That's something really important in ministry. You know, do we just gloss over sometimes? And let's be honest for a moment. You know, do we just become so numb to ministry that we forget? Or are we moved in the pit of our stomach? That's really what the true nature of compassion is. Preacher J.C. Watts said, compassion can't be measured in dollars and cents. However, it does come with a price tag. But that price tag isn't the amount of money spent. That price tag is love. And a few verses later, we see that love binds all of these together. And we can't forget that. We can't just, I mean, you can show an act of kindness, and kindness is simple, but really the motivation of why we do it is what's important. And hopefully it's that love that binds these together, compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It's what drives us, and it's centered really on our relationship with God. We have clarity when we remember that we're chosen, we're holy, and dearly loved. And I love the order of these. We don't just run into, you know, be kind or be compassionate. We have to remember who we are to God, and then we show it. Again, being chosen, remember what it means. It means that we're a treasured people, that Hebrew word, amsagah. And it remembers that God chose us and we are His. We're chosen people. Holy, and I remember that first time I heard it, holy, be holy for I am holy. And we're supposed to be separate from the world. Well, you know, there is a point to that. We're supposed to live righteous lives. But like Jesus, we need to be in the throes sometimes. We need to rub elbows with and to be there with people in need. And this is how God is seen within us. We need to be holy. And it also talks again about the scripture right before that. Our conversation, our behavior needs to be holy. The last is beloved, as we see in those three descriptions. And that means to be greatly loved. And God spoke this world into existence with love. God showed love when he gave Christ. And we, again, need to be agents of that. But we need to remember in living life that we are chosen holy and dearly loved, with that spiritual obligation to show it. When we do that, then we're ready, again, to have compassionate hearts and really understand truly what compassion means, to clothe ourselves in this way. And what compassion is, it's a response to God and others, which is filled with love and concern, not selfishness. Okay, we're not doing it for our own self-interest. We're doing it emptying ourselves for God to work. And compassion puts others, which is the principal tenet of our Christian faith. It puts others first. Jesus chose compassion throughout his entire ministry. He was moved by people, and Jesus was loved by people, particularly those who did not know or live by the truth. Compassion is what characterized the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 9, 35 and 36, and I shared this a little bit because I get excited about this verse. Yesterday in the board and executive director meeting, we were kind of talking about, you know, how do we minister to people, you know, of this age? You know, we're losing, you know, male staff in the summer because they're off doing other things and this and that. And, you know, how do we do that? And I zoned in on this verse because it just jumps out. And it's Matthew 9, 35. And Jesus was going through all the cities and all the villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And the key word, and seeing the multitudes. What happened? Immediately he feels compassion on them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. I love that verse because it's an important call to ministry, and it's an important reminder that Jesus went everywhere, not just to the churches. Jesus felt compassion because he was a lover of mankind. The entire ministry of Christ was an outpouring of his compassion for us. Compassion is what moved Jesus to associate with sinners. He attracted them because he was loved for them. Compassion is what liberated Jesus to go into the church from the legalism of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, and instead speaking the truth in love. With compassion, Jesus healed and fed the hungry multitudes. With compassion, Jesus restored the sight of the blind, touched the untouchable leper, and healed him, and raised the widow's son from the dead. Compassion allows Jesus to identify with us, suffer with us, love us so much that he gave his life for us, that we may live. Compassion is, again, is a response to God and others, which is filled with love and concern rather than selfishness. So the question, I'd just like to take a few moments, is how do we clothe ourselves? Because that's what we're talking about. How do we clothe ourselves? Put that blanket around us of compassion and then show it to others. Well, first we need to realize that compassion brings hope. Jesus never failed bringing hope to others. The others, is everyone. Matthew 9:35, and Jesus was going about all the cities and all the villages, teaching in the synagogues. Jesus was always about going. He always was moving across the room. He was always going where the need was. And us in our camps, I hear this so much in churches and camps, is we're just there and we're waiting for them to come. We need to go. We need to go and see the need. A few months ago, I went to New Orleans. My brother has an apartment there, and that's a whole other story. But right on Bourbon Street. So I had this idea to have a staff retreat on Bourbon Street. And a lot of people said, what are you, a group of Christians, going to Bourbon Street? You know, what value is that? And I'm articulating why. I didn't know when I was going. But up until the time, people just kept questioning and really curious about it. Why would you take a group from a Christian camp there? Well, you know, as I articulate and as I step back, I needed to realize and I needed to be reminded that people are beautiful. Beautiful because God made them. You, me, us. God made us. This hope, Christ, needs to be brought to all the cities and villages. And this is what Jesus did as followers of God. We need to definitely do the same. Not to isolate ourselves. How often do we put walls around ourselves to become more comfortable? We need to be really careful here. Not to despise the afflicted, loathe the godless, turn a blind eye to the needy, avoid the helpless, fear the contamination of the perverse, and close our hearts from the pain of identifying the hurt in others. We need not call ourselves Christians by name and not follow the example of Christ. I think of horses as they race. They have these blinders on. And sometimes I think blinders would be really good for us as Christians. We look at this camp and we wonder what they're doing. And we just need to focus on what's ahead, what God has called us to. And certainly we can get support from other camps. But, let's just keep our eyes forward. Because Jesus never failed, again, to bring hope to others. And that is our call. He had compassion for them. Those in the cities and the villages and in the synagogues. Meeting people and offering healing, truth, and hope. And this came from compassion being rooted in deep love for people with open hands. Forgive. That was the example of Christ. Compassion brings hope. Secondly, compassion puts others first. And here we are, duh. That's what camp ministry is, absolutely. But do we truly live that way? Do we remember that Jesus went and Jesus saw? After seeing the multitudes, what happened? Jesus felt compassion on them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Being a Christian is not merely just an exercise or feeling for others to feel good. I heard that so much around Christmas. I don't know if you heard that too. It just doesn't feel like Christmas. I don't know what that really means, especially as Christians. That's the joy that I was talking about earlier, the joy in us. It doesn't ebb and flow with circumstances. It doesn't, when the fragrances smell good, then it's Christmas time. I mean, sure, I like my morning strata and all that and New Jersey pork roll. There, I said it once. Lloyd Jones, the past minister of the Westminster Chapel in London, speaks to compassion this way to ministry leaders. Listen closely here. To love to preach is one thing, and to love those to whom we preach is quite another. The trouble with some of us is we love preaching, but we're not always careful to make sure that we love people to whom we're actually preaching. If you lack this element of compassion for the people, you'll also lack the pathos, which is the vital element in all true preaching. I would take out the word preaching and I would say camp there in each of those. Is it the troubled camper sometimes that I just wish that they, oh man, here they are, they're signed up again. They are just going to create some issues for us. There's a phrase that says, hurt people, hurt people. Try to figure out what's going on with that behavior, child. This is the same truth in what Jesus was saying about putting others first. Whether a preacher or not, and we're all preachers, as we walk because we call ourselves followers of Christ.
We need to be able to see the multitudes, and that's all the multitudes, feeling compassion on them. And this is where compassion for others is seen. It's easy to become so used to doing life, to doing ministry, that we forget to see the needs of others. Again, I try to get into the city every once in a while so I don't forget the homeless. People often in cities, they step over the homeless. I live in the woods. I live on 600 acres. Beautiful. But we need to come down sometimes. Compassion gives us fresh perspective for people's needs. And if we want to be compassionate in our faith, we need to have compassion for all people with that inward feeling in our stomachs. Compassion gives us eyes for a hurting world, which we must not ignore. The following poem appeared in the Dimension magazine a few years back, and this is my prayer for each of us. I need truer vision, Lord, a vision filled with Thee, to see needy people in the world again, with eyes willing to see, a world where people are hurting, a hunger every day, a world that's ready and waiting to hear what You would say. I need a wider vision, Lord, a vision filled with Thee, to see the lonely woman down the street from me, the teen who's all mixed up, the child who's been abused, the day-to-day cares in my neighborhood. Lord, I want to be used. Give me a new vision, Lord, a vision filled with Thee, to see the world and my neighborhood as Your eyes would see. Help me to use my gifts, dear Lord, in ways that glorify You, to act with loving kindness towards those with a different view. A truer, wider, newer vision, Lord, that's what I need to carry out Your commands in word and thought and deed. What a great prayer. And it truly puts others above ourselves. Lastly, compassion takes practice. And this is hard because sometimes it's exhausting to do ministry, and I realize that. We need to make sure that we're finding those moments to quiet our hearts and be still so we can take time and take practice. Besides realizing what compassion brings, that hope, and how compassion is to be seen by others, we need to cultivate that compassion. And since compassion was, again, significant to the ministry of Christ, we need to make sure that it's significant to our ministries as we walk. To cultivate compassion requires that intentional time, effort, and resources, again, on our part. It's that deep investment. Before we run with endurance, we have to walk with confidence. That race, you know, sometimes looks exhausting. We need to take those still small moments and quiet our hearts. An anonymous author once penned these words: I was hungry and You formed a humanities club and You discussed my hunger. I was imprisoned and You crept off quietly to Your chapel and You prayed for my release. I was naked, and in Your mind, You debated the morality of my appearance. I was sick, and You knelt and thanked God for Your help. I was homeless, and You preached to me of the spiritual shelter of the love of God. I was lonely, and You left me alone to pray. You seem so close to God, but I'm still very hungry, very lonely, and very cold. One of the greatest dangers with Christianity and ministry is just going through the motions, becoming professional Christians, as I call it. Sacrificing the relationship for God, for the work we do for God. Remember, the work we do for God comes out of the relationship with God, not the other way around. The work we do is rooted in compassion, not self-interest or feelings. It feels good when we help, but the help must be rooted in why, and that why is that word today is compassion. Compassion, again, is being moved by something so much that you feel it deep in your stomach. And that's personal reflection for each of us. If you're missing that, and I miss that from time to time, just quiet your heart. Find those still small moments with God, and as I shared, recapture that joy of the Lord in your life. How I long each day for that moment, the moment for God to move in my life and yours, in camping ministry, the deep relationship through knowing that God loves us, and the compassion that springs out of our love and his love for others. My prayer is that we find moments today in the quietness or on the drives back to our various camps to remember, so importantly, that you are loved by God. And may that love catapult you out of your seat with a great excitement to be compassionate again and to see others in need. Amen? Amen. God, we thank you for moments like these. Lord, we can wrestle out of our beds and come and just meet you here. Lord, I thank you for using this stuttering kid from New Jersey who had no hope. And God, that's when you use us best. Lord, you meet us where we're at. You helped empty us. And then you fill us, God. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the compassion that you show to each of us. And let us remember that same compassion we share to others. I think about all the children that need camp in this region, God. And I just ask that we would have the boldness to walk across the room to find those kids, maybe those risky kids, those kids that might cause us a little bit more time during the day. Lord, that we can just clear the path to you and give them the experience of who you are in their lives in a real and authentic way. In Jesus' name, amen.